I'm a mother of three, and so our grocery bills are quite high. My husband works at a tech company, and I currently stay at home raising the kids, who are 10, 7, and 3. I go food shopping at least twice a week, and I usually go to the King Cullen near our house, though I sometimes go to the nearby Target as well. Those are two of a very small list of grocery stores in our quiet town. To give as much context as possible, we're an Italian family and I'm currently 40 years old. This happened not even a year ago when I was 39. I was running behind on shopping one day, so I went much later than usual. The King Cullen by us closes at 10, and it was definitely past 9 o'clock already, so I hurried over to the store with my flyers and coupons. The kids were complaining about a lack of food in the house, so I had to get a quick grocery run in. Most days I'd have to go shopping with my 3-year-old daughter Haley. Since it was late and my husband was home from work at this time, for once I was able to go shopping alone, which I consider a luxury. I got to the King Cullen, which was pretty void of people at this hour since it would soon be closing. I grabbed a cart and quickly started doing my laps down the aisles and grabbing whatever was on my list and whatever was on sale. I was in the cereal aisle when I got a tap on my shoulder which startled me. I turned and saw a very tan man about my height with a baseball cap on, a black goatee, and a red zipper-up hoodie and jeans on. He laughed and apologized for startling me, and said that he'd been looking everywhere for a specific bag of chips that was in my cart, and he asked where I found them. I politely told him the aisle, and he said he checked but couldn't find it. So I actually led him exactly to where I found the chips. He thanked me with his awful breath, and I smiled and was about to walk back to my cart. But then he started making pointless conversation with me about why he liked those chips so much. Something silly like the ingredients or a lack of a specific ingredient. I kept trying to make it obvious that I was inching my way back to my cart. He wouldn't get the hint though. It was when he made a weird pause and then said, "Gosh, you're pretty," that I said thank you and that I had to get back to my shopping before they close. I went to my cart, but he followed me and kept talking to me. At this point, as politely as I could, I told him I really would just like to shop in peace. He finally seemed to get the hint and walked away, but for the rest of my time in the store that night, I kept seeing that man circling the aisles, and each time he walked past the aisle I was in, he'd slow down or even stop and just look down at me. I was getting increasingly uncomfortable and hurried up my shopping. When I was finally done, I went to the checkout, and as I emptied my cart, here comes Red Hoodie Guy with a whole 2 or 3 items. And he waits online right behind me. He doesn't say a word anymore, but I felt his gaze even through the back of my head. When I was done checking out, I pushed my cart away, and the man called out, "Have a good night, ma'am," and I ignored it. As I was unloading my car, I noticed the red hoodie guy in the parking lot looking at me as he walked to his car. He got into a junky-looking Honda that must have been like 30 years old. He didn't turn the car on, though. He just sat in it. I finally finished loading my car. So I got inside, started it, and began driving out of the parking lot. I looked in my rearview mirror a few times, and I didn't see any headlights behind me, so I felt safe to drive home. It wasn't until I pulled into the driveway and looked to my left down the street that I realized there was a car with its headlights off driving slowly down the street approaching our house. It pulled to the curb a few houses down. It looked to be that Honda from the parking lot. I went inside the house and called my husband's name. He came downstairs looking concerned, and I told him I was followed home by a creep. He hurried outside to the stoop, but by this time, the car was already gone. The following weekend, late at night when we were all in bed, we heard some shuffling around outside in the side yard. I shook my husband to go check what it was, and he went to slide the window open. He saw someone right below the window trying to open the side gate to the backyard, but after hearing the window slide open, the man looked up and started to run. My husband grabbed the baseball bat from under the bed and ran outside, and when he came back a minute later, he said he saw the car speeding down the street and he tried to chase after it. He perfectly described the shitty Honda that the red hoodie guy was driving. It was undoubtedly him. We phoned the police, and given the late hour, a police officer arrived to our house in under 5 minutes. I described the man and his car the best I could, and that was that. He never returned to our house. Not after seeing my angry husband chasing his car on foot with a bat. It still remains uncomfortable that a creep like that knows where I live, though. When I was in college, I worked at Walbaum's. The one I worked at was a 24-hour one, So a couple unfortunate people would always be stuck working that awful shift. I thought since I was 20 and in college that my boss would never put me on an overnight shift. But unfortunately, I guess when she asked my school schedule and I told her I was off Mondays and Wednesdays, she saw me as a perfect sucker to stick on the overnight shift occasionally moving forward. One day I saw that I was scheduled for a Tuesday night from 12 a.m. to 8 a.m. I had to triple check the schedule to make sure that that was right. I felt sick seeing that, and when I asked my supervisor why I was put on the overnight shift, he told me if I'm over 18, I don't really have a choice. I considered quitting, but I needed the job and money. So I just sucked it up and decided I'd do it this one time and then tell my boss I can't do it ever again because I have to study for school. So I arrived at the store at 12 o'clock and relieved my coworker Amanda. Half the lights in the store were out at this hour to save on electricity. There were a surprising amount of customers in the store when I got there. I guess more people than I expected would do quick midnight shopping runs. Past 1 a.m. though, the place was completely dead. Maybe three customers in the entire hour. As it got later in the night, there were less and less customers. It was past 2 a.m. by this point. I was as bored as humanly possible, and there hadn't been a customer in over an hour. I wondered if there were any other employees in the building. There had to be, I figured. They couldn't have a lone 20-year-old running the whole place by himself. There was some bald guy who looked like he could be a manager that kept passing by the front registers every few minutes. He had a key ring attached to his khakis with like 10 keys on it, and he was holding a small backpack type bag in his hand. So I said, "Excuse me, are you the manager?" And he came over and asked if it was my first day on the job, to which I said it was my first night shift. He shook my hand without giving me his name, and asked me if I could go to the back warehouse of the store and organize the pallets. He said he'd watch the front. I didn't exactly know what that meant, but I'd figure it out. I walked towards the back of the store, and as I did, I saw him doing something to the entrance door of the store, like he was reaching for some switch on the side of it, as if he were locking it. I made my way into the back warehouse, where I saw a tall man who looked like he were 30, wearing a manager's vest that said Wall Bounce. He saw my apron and introduced himself as Rob, the night manager. I said, "Oh, I thought the guy in the front was the night manager." And he looked puzzled and said, "Who?" When I described that man from before, he asked me to show him who I was talking about because he was the only manager on duty. We didn't even make it out of the warehouse before all the lights in the store turned off. Rob told me to wait in the warehouse while he checks out what's going on. I watched as he walked through the warehouse doors into the darkness of the store, with the only light out there being from the lights of the dairy coolers that were still on. I sat on a box on a pallet, and was on my phone trying to text any of my friends who could have been awake about what was happening, when I heard a door from inside the warehouse opening. It was on the other side of the warehouse, separated by the freezer and dairy fridge. There were two ways in and out of the warehouse back into the store. I still sat there, now with my ears perked up, listening for any sounds, and I heard quiet, slow footsteps getting closer, followed by a voice saying, "Hey kid, you in here?" But it wasn't Rob's voice. It was that bald guy's voice. I hurried out the warehouse doors into the store, but quietly. I jogged to the front of the store looking for Rob, but I couldn't find him. I called out his name, nothing. I grabbed my jacket and tried to open the exit door, but it wouldn't open automatically. So I tried to physically open it, but it was locked. I heard footsteps approaching from behind me, and I turned and almost screamed, but I realized it was Rob the manager. He flicked some lever or something on the top right of the door and unlocked it, and he said in a panicked whisper to hurry and get outside. He followed behind me. We left the store and he got right on the phone with the police, and I heard his whole conversation. He said he believed an armed man locked himself into the Wall Bounce and was probably trying to rob the place. I told him to tell the police that I think he was coming to harm me in the warehouse, which he relayed to the operator. He told me I should go wait in my car or leave, I'm sure because he didn't want the store to be held liable for anything if something were to happen. I went and sat in my car and just watched for a little while, and within 10 minutes there were at least 4 police cars outside the store. They all went inside for a while, and I didn't see whatever was going on, so I left. I didn't quit after that though. The next time I went into work, I was told all about what happened by my supervisor. The security footage showed that bald man circling the place, acting suspicious, checking if the coast were clear to do whatever he was planning to do after locking the doors. He cut the lights in the store, and the cameras showed him going straight to the warehouse where he told me to go. That's the scariest part to me, because if he were armed and robbing the place, he could have been on his way to put a gun to my head or something. The camera showed him leaving through the emergency exit in the warehouse way before the police arrived. In the end, I never worked an overnight shift again after talking to my boss, and I stayed at that job for another few months. I'm not sure if that man was ever identified. I used to work as a night restock worker at a supermarket in a somewhat rural town. The store was called Great American. It was the biggest and best supermarket in the area. My shift would be as soon as the store would close at 10. I'd work from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. the latest, restocking the shelves and organizing everything before the next operating day. I, of course, had the keys to the store for the after hours. It would be a team of two, myself and one other, either Terry, Carter, or Alfonso. Tonight, I was supposed to be working with Terry. I arrived to the store and let myself into the back where all the inventory yet to be stocked was. I started my work using the pallet jack to bring a whole pallet of boxes out to the shopping floor. I started with the bread and nuts aisle, rotating the older loaves in the front and putting the newer loaves in the back. Halfway through, I realized I hadn't seen Terry yet. I walked to the back area of the store where the inventory was, where we'd leave our belongings. He wasn't back there yet. I left the back door cracked open with a door stopper for him when he would show up. So I went back to work for another half hour. And with still no sign of Terry, I once again went to the back of the store. He wasn't in there, but I noticed the back door was shut. I assumed that meant Terry was here somewhere. I went to open the back door and saw the door stopper was outside, which I thought was weird that he kicked it outside instead of bringing it in. I called Terry's name and it echoed through the room. He didn't call back, so I decided to call him. He picked up, sounding like he was in bed, and I asked him if he was at work. He said he wasn't coming in tonight because he was sick. Suddenly, I got the chills. I told him someone kicked the door stopper off the door, and he said it could have just come undone itself. Nobody else was scheduled to work that night. I told him feel better, and we hung up. I wasn't sure if I was convinced that the door stopper came undone itself, because I kicked it under the door pretty tightly. I did a quick look around just to make sure no one was in the back of the store, and when I didn't see anyone, I went back to work. Though I felt a slight sense of unease the whole time, I was stocking the remainder of the bread when I heard a loud sound echo from across the shopping floor. Okay, now someone had to be in here. I got off my knees and went to the middle aisle that intersected all the other aisles. I looked straight down the aisle and stood there for a hot second. And all the way on the opposite side of the store in the dairy aisle, a man dressed in black walked past the middle aisle, looking down in my direction. I felt my heart drop. It felt like that scene from the movie Signs where the alien walks past the birthday party. I had to think logically, that maybe this was someone else filling in for Terry's shift that our boss didn't tell me about. I started to speed walk down the center aisle and yelled "Excuse me" very loudly. I looked to the left down every aisle I passed since he went towards the front of the store. In one of those aisles, he was waiting at the end of it, standing there, fully facing my direction. When he saw me, he walked out of sight in the direction I was just coming from. I yelled "Excuse me" again, and started to run down that aisle to catch up to him. I didn't get a good look at his face yet. When I got to the front of the aisle by the cash registers, I looked down the direction he went, and I saw him all the way at the end by the bread aisle. Half his body was hidden behind the shelf. His mouth was hanging open. And he started to wave me over, but he didn't say anything. His face was freaking me out. I attempted one more time to speak to him and said, "Who are you?" And he disappeared behind the shelf. I wasn't being paid enough for this. I went outside to sit in my car and call my boss. He picked up and I told him there was some random freak roaming around the store. He told me to get him out of there if I can, or call the police to get him out. I was not going to attempt to physically remove a crazy person from the store, so I called 911. I waited in my car until a police car showed up. I greeted the officer and asked him to follow me inside. We walked around the place looking for the man, and we saw him at one of the aisles again, creepily standing there again as if playing a game. When the police officer commanded him to come here, he actually listened. He was put in handcuffs, and he was the strangest man I'd ever seen. He kept smiling and looking at me non-stop, licking his lips. He had huge bags under his eyes. The only words he spoke were when answering the police officer, saying he was looking for a snack. I didn't like the way he was looking at me as the police officer was walking him back outside to his car. It was this menacing, threatening smile that I haven't forgotten to this day. I continued my work after that. Needless to say, I never left any of the doors open again.